While we wait, it looks like Colorado may forward one this year back into the legislature. We missed by one vote 2 years ago. And so there's some interest in that. So we might see one there, hopefully. So, now which one do I push here?
Don't push the left or down arrow.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thanks for coming this morning. It's great to see more in the audience than in the speakers. So it's always nice this early in the morning on a Monday. And thanks to Suzanne for organizing this so that we could all be here to talk today about some of the projects we're doing to work on youth sun protection. What I'm going to talk about today is actually some data from a project that we've been doing for a couple of years now in Colorado and California to try to motivate school districts to make changes at the policy level that would impact the sun protection of children that attend their schools. And this project has a number of people involved with it, and you see the names up there. It involves our group plus Kim Reynolds' group at, well, it was USC, now Claremont, and then Jeff Ashley's group at the Sun Safety for Kids group in LA. And I have no relationships to disclose either. What we've been doing is, I mentioned, we're trying to work on the policy level. We've become more and more interested in how you influence organizations, not just individuals, because individuals spend so much of their time inside organizations, living in them, and their behavior is to some extent constrained and determined by policies in those organizations. And so we had worked for a number of years trying to develop effective sun safety curricula and instructional materials that could be used by schools, but in 2002, the CDC, recognizing the importance of organization level change in their guidelines for school programs to prevent skin cancer, recommended that schools adopt policies concerning solar protection of children. And so we were fortunate to get a grant from the National Cancer Institute to look at how could we motivate school districts to make these changes. And what I'm going to present today is actually some of the initial data from the baseline assessments we did of these school districts. And if you were in the same city for SBM last spring, you saw some of the data presented from actual coding of school policies. And that's actually our primary outcome for the study, is to get the written policies. Thank goodness most of those are available publicly. And we haven't had to challenge any public information laws yet, but most districts are willing to give them to us. And what I'm going to present today is actually secondary data we collected by interviewing administrators and principals in that study. And you see the design information here. Basically, we have 112 public school districts, half and half, in Southern California, in the LA region, and in Colorado. Here's a map of the LA counties or school districts, and here's a map of the Colorado districts. And so we have 56 in each state that we've been working with, and they're randomized to intervention or control. But this is data from our survey that we did going into the study, where we first recruited the districts and then attempted to interview their senior administrators and principals. So this is a survey of the senior-most people in those districts, and you'll see it includes everything from board members and superintendents down to various people at, say, the departmental level that might influence the decisions to adopt and implement policies. And then we talked with principals as well, because obviously they're the ones that have to implement a lot of the policies that are changed. So we did. We asked a variety of questions. We were basically interested in trying to get information we couldn't get by looking at the written policy in this survey, and you'll see the different things here. One important thing was, it became apparent to us before we even got into the survey and talking with some of our advisors and people in the districts, that districts not only have written policies, but they have things called standard operating procedures that might be written at the level of a school, but are not written at the level of the district nor approved by the board. And that was our definition of a written policy, was one that was board approved. School board approved. So you'll see that we asked about that. I'm going to share some data on that, as well as some other information that would be related to their support for these types of policies and things that might predict actual adoption of the policies as we rolled out our intervention. We did do a variety of methods. We're using now a multiple method of interviewing, especially as we're into these organizations, and we've done this also with employers on some protection, using both online, telephone, and mail to try to up our response rate. There's some recent data out indicating bias due to non-response is worse than bias due to multiple methods, if you're careful and follow various, particularly Don Dillman's work on how to make these methods pretty equivalent. So, but you can see we still had about half of the administrators that we went after did not respond to this, and that's not uncommon with these senior administrators. This is the profile of the sample. This is the combined sample of administrators and principals. You can see we've gotten quite a lot of senior administrators and senior people with an average age of 50. And you can see some of their demographic characteristics here. Notably, 15% said they've been diagnosed with skin cancer sometime in the past. And we have a predominantly female sample here. And they've been working in public education for 20 or more years. When we asked them if their school district had a policy on sun protection, 19% responded affirmatively to that. It is much more prevalent in California that they responded affirmatively than in Colorado, and actually when you look at the coded policies, that's the same thing. The Californians have a couple of state laws on things like the ability to use hats on the school grounds, and so as a result, some of the more of the California districts had things at the when we did the survey than did the Colorado districts. But interestingly, sunscreen was where policy seemed to be where the difference was when you asked them individually. So even though there was this hat law sitting in California, the Coloradans thought that they had done more the Californians said they were doing less on sunscreen. You can see the individual things that were required, obviously wearing shirts and sleeves and sunscreen and things like that are very prevalent. They don't like to change their schedule, and that continues to be the case. It's difficult for them because they have a limited number of hours they have contact with the students. Some districts did, we asked about two particular things that might discourage the use of sun protection, and that is discouraging the use of hats and sunglasses and requiring prescriptions for sunscreen. And you see a small minority of districts do that, or respondents claim their district did that, and that tended to be more prevalent also in California. There had been some work by the Colorado Department of Health to get the word out through the Department of Education that they no longer required prescriptions for sunscreen, so that may indicate they've been effective to some extent. The standard operating procedures I mentioned, where they could have had something that wasn't written, but they kind of did it as a rule of thumb, and you see that 23% of the respondents said that their districts had one of these. And again, the pattern of what they claimed to have a standard operating procedure about, what was involved in that, was pretty much the same profile we saw from what they claimed the policy had, with an overemphasis on sunscreen and the least likely thing being avoiding time in the sun at midday. Once again, the California respondents were more likely to say that they had those types of standard operating procedures. We asked about shade for the principals, not for the administrators, but the principals, we asked them to describe their school grounds, and 87% claimed there was some kind of a shade-providing structure on the school grounds. Again, a little more in California than Colorado. And they claim that some additions were made to school grounds in the recent past to increase the amount of shade, which hopefully is positive, although we didn't go into asking them how much coverage there was in a previous study. We found the coverage of that shade is pretty small in most schools. Awareness of recommendations. We asked them a general question of being aware of any recommendations or regulations by any federal or state agency regarding school programs to prevent skin cancer, and about a quarter of them said they were aware of that, but three-quarters are not, which indicates there's a lot of ground to be made up for some of these government regulations that have been put forward. We asked them also to rate the characteristics of policies, and these characteristics come from the diffusion of innovations model. And you can see that here, while there are some differences by state, with the California respondents being a little more positive overall than Colorado respondents, where we really saw some of the concern was whether it was necessary, whether it was affordable to do this. Those were the two biggest concerns going in to our study expressed by administrators about this. Most of the others were relatively positive. It was a 5-point scale. They also felt it would be relatively acceptable to parents and to their staff, and they personally felt they were supportive of adopting these policies, although, again, California was a bit more positive than Colorado. And then half of them, when asked, said they felt their district would consider adopting a written sun protection policy. And once again, the profile looks almost identical every time we ask them about it. They just don't want to change time outside, and they would rather work on these other personal protection behaviors. And that almost nobody had any policy for staff. So, to wrap up here, basically, this was a snapshot from about 2 years ago. Sun protection policies are relatively uncommon, both when we look at the written policies as well as when we ask the administrators about this, although they have a generally favorable impression of them and felt they would consider it. So we believe that there was an unrealized potential as we went into this study. California, the difference between California and Colorado is one that we're seeing not only in this data, but as we've gone and started working and talking with the districts, there's differences in the way that they approach policy in the two states. California is very much a top-down state legislature, makes changes in the policies are then adopted by the districts, or the California School Boards Association vets policies, makes them available, and oftentimes the districts will adopt because of that. Colorado is much more of a local control state. In fact, some of the districts have told us, we don't put anything in policy unless we're having to do that because we're covering ourselves for something. We, in fact, try to keep the number of policies very, very low when it comes to written board-approved policies. They'd much prefer not to do that. And so there's that tension between the states that are more top-down, and California's not alone in that, and local control, and Colorado's not alone either in that. So there's differences that we're seeing there. As far as what to do in terms of promoting it, some lessons, and some of these have come through as we've rolled this out. They need to be convinced that it's necessary, that there's really a need for this, and they can do it, that it's a relatively low-cost type of policy. And again, I've mentioned school schedules are just not something it looks like they're going to move on. And it may be that we can do some things through construction and renovation, since they seem to do that on some regular basis, although as budget cuts come and go, that may slow down. And then some of them with these standard operating procedures might be convinced to convert them into written policies. So thank you very much. Amy.
Do you have an opportunity to extend this to any other states?
Not yet.
If you did.
Oh, if we did. We haven't really thought about a particular state. We are seeing this big dichotomy between these local control and non-local control states. And, in fact, we took the opportunity, a couple of the folks from the L.A. group are here, and we were talking about that on Friday as we met, about might there be a reason to go into some of these local control states and do something different, because we really have more of a top-down approach. We're an outsider's coming in. We're talking with them. We're pointing to federal recommendations, are pointing to state laws where they exist, state recommendations, school board associations in both states have endorsed it. And so that's more of a top-down. We probably need to work with to learn more about how to deal with these local control states, where principals are given a lot of authority that school boards really don't want to be in the business of doing anything. And we've actually had a couple of school districts in Colorado say, we'll do a standard operating procedure. In fact, I'll write it down, said the superintendent, but I'm not going to my board to get this thing approved. It's just not what we do. And so there may be that we have to come in more of a grassroots approach with those types, or school by school, than to be advocating for adoption. But we haven't really gone to the point of thinking about which states yet. I mean, California and Colorado are a bit different also in that we're a little colder. And, you know, we know temperature and perceptions of UV seem to go together erroneously. But, you know, and there may be some other states that where you get different climatological issues or something. So we have some districts with high percentages of minorities, so, you know, we're getting good wide range of that. So. Well, maybe Sherry Stavell, with us today, can answer that because she did a lot of the contacts with the districts in California. And they all have wellness policies, or most of them have the wellness policy, got passed while we were doing this. Did you get the
Definitely. We're overwhelmed, not one more thing. We don't want to put any more pressure on our teachers. So thank you for that.
Yeah. So, yes?
I have two questions. Number one, that when you mentioned sunscreen, were the sunscreens provided by the school, or the students put the sunscreen on themselves?
The policies didn't mandate either. It was that there would be that they would often they'll only go as far as encouraging the use of sunscreen, particularly in California, because the law states if you require something and they can't afford it, you must pay to provide it. So lots of California districts will not use the term require. So they tend to use the term encourage. And at that point, then it's up to the schools as to whether they want to provide it or whether they are asking the parents to provide it.
Number two, did you do anything for the preschools like Head Start?
No. Unless it was involved within the school district and the policy would apply to it, no.
Any other questions?
I'm surprised at the high rates of policies. And how are these playing out on the ground? Are kids really wearing masks in schools that have half policies?
Well, that's a good question, and that's what we're doing as we've come to the, as we're post-testing in California, we're about a year out in Colorado, we're actually going in with an interview with individual principals in schools where these policies were adopted to see what, if anything, they've been doing.
Because,
you know, we haven't gone to that point yet. There was some, when we first were getting this funded, some of the reviewers wanted us to do it, and then when they looked at the expense of that, they said, maybe you could do that as a follow-up. But we, you know, we've talked about that, but we're first going to just look to see if the implementation's even occurring, because we're concerned that while it might be adopted, then the principals aren't doing anything with it, or they're not being told to do anything with it, or they may not even be told it exists. So, although in some, they may publish it in a parent book, that may be as far as they go. So, we're at least starting at working our way down. Ultimately, we've talked about that coming back with a continuation to go and look to see if there's any differences in the actual sun protection. But first, we're concerned about implementation once they do this.
Thank you. And again, if we are able to stay on track, there will be time to ask questions of any of the speakers. Our next speaker is Suzanne Dobinson.